Okay, we are on the air. Welcome to the Finance Administration and Operations Committee meeting of November 12th. Can we please take the roll?
Committee Chair Peterson?
Here.
Chair Wolf?
Here.
Director Darcy? Director Gonzalez?
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. I don't believe there's any public comment unless I was unaware. No public comment. Okay, we had two items. We have approval of the minutes of the regular Finance Administration and Operations Committee meeting and executive session held on October 15, 2014. Were there any changes or any thoughts, any review? We're good. There being no comment, then do I have a motion to approve item one, approval of the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. I don't think I have any additional items right now to discuss. The executive director, I'm sure we'll have some additional items.
Well, I just have one introduction, and that is Mike Kelsch, to give our quarterly financial review. So just so the viewing public, because I know there are thousands of people out there watching, don't get confused between this and our budget. Obviously, last month we proposed a tentative budget for next year for the tollway. This is our typical review of our quarterly performance. So we've got the, I believe, third quarter, right, Mike?
Yes.
Wrapped up, and kind of see where we are relative to where we thought we would be when we prepared the budget last year.
So thank you, Christy. Good morning, everyone. Kathy will help us, and we'll present on the capital component of the review. As Christy mentioned, this is the budget to actual review of our third quarter, actually through the first three quarters of the year. Much of what we discussed today, you've received a preview on last month as we presented the 2015 tentative budget. So 2014 year to date, we have had strong second and third quarter revenue, which has offset the winter impacts that we saw early on. I think in every month, excluding August, since the spring. So from April through September, excluding August, we've exceeded our revenue estimate. So revenue is $9.4 million more than we budgeted at the start of the year. Much of that has actually been reflected in the revised estimate that we presented last month when we presented the tentative budget. You can see commercial vehicle transactions 2.2% higher than projection. Passenger vehicle transactions are still lower than projection, but that's because of the first quarter effect. Maintenance and operations spending, despite the polar vortex spending we discussed last month, is slightly below budget, but some of that is due to some timing issues on some contractual work, as well as we know we have a need to restock on some parts, fuel, and winter materials. That's already started actually in October. And finally, the capital program spending has been proceeding at a record pace, $816 million through the first three quarters. That's the highest year-to-date spending in tollway history. And Kathy will provide some additional detail on that later in the presentation. So, as I mentioned, revenue exceeding projection through the first three quarters by $9.4 million. Commercial vehicle traffic grew 6.1% year over year during the third quarter alone. So, as we mentioned, the trend is continuing, which is 2.5% greater than what we budgeted. Same for passenger vehicles in terms of exceeding budget. 0.4% greater than budget and 2.4% greater than last year. And as you can see, of course, toll and evasion recovery make up the vast majority of the overperformance year to date. And the maintenance and operations budget. This budget comparison does not reflect the supplemental that we ask for. In the tentative budget presentation, we mentioned that we're slightly under the comparison to the initial budget, But again, we know we have additional costs that we are going to incur in the fourth quarter as we prepare for the 2014 and 15 winter. We were very low on supplies in winter materials. So the key drivers, as you can see, in payrolls over, that's due to winter-related overtime and payroll costs. There's also an impact in contractual services of the timing of certain purchases and payments. There's certain contractual services in engineering department, for example, some of the maintenance on our ITS and our fiber optic that we expect to do in the fourth quarter that we had anticipated earlier. We do believe there will be some savings in the area of contractual services and engineering, but that's one of the areas where we're transferring money to cover the winter polar vortex spending. And finally, utility rates have been slightly higher than what we saw last year. And we do have some new locations as we continue our completing some of the new construction projects, both on I-90 and 294-57 interchange. And we have some additional costs in telecommunications related to business systems that we've incurred this year that we were greater than what we had anticipated. You can see parts and fuel is also significantly above budget again, related to last spring's fuel needs associated with the polar vortex spending. And with that, Kathy?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So as Mike mentioned, capital spending for the capital program was down compared to the forecast, but it is at record levels for both the quarter and year to date. This is the year to date slide for the capital program expenditures. As you can see, the total capital program projected spending was $1 billion. Actual spending came in at $816 million, representing a variance of $248 million. If you look at the numbers before adding in IGA reimbursements, the variance for the capital program was $235 million. You can see that the majority of the variances can be attributed to a few corridors. The Jane Addams, for instance, at $87 million, a variance of $87 million. Most of this represents bid savings. I'd say about $76 million of that is bid savings, and then the additional is schedule changes. System-wide improvements, there's a variance of about $80 million. That variance is mostly due to slower spending in business systems and IT. There is about a $34 million variance on the 294-57 interchange. And while this project has been open, there is a variance related to utility, slower payments on utility spending that's probably coming in at later dates. The Elgin O'Hare Western Access, the variance, the $19 million variance there is mostly due to slower the projected spending on right-of-way. And there is a positive variance on the Reagan Memorial, and that's mostly due to accelerated construction related to diamond grinding work. So that really makes up the majority of the variance for the capital program. And I say this is comparing the original projections. If you compare to the more revised projections that was done during the budget season, it pretty much is right on target, or maybe about a 2% variance from the current revised projections.
So I gather neither you nor Paul is troubled by these variances.
No, I think it shows that the program is, you know, running pretty well. I think what Kathy said about the big bid savings on 90, $76 million out of 86.7, you know, these projections were done last August 2013, so some of the schedule changes, I think, is just a differential between, you know, how we thought what months we would spend it in and what months we're actually spending it in.
And October obviously is going to be a very big month, right?
Yeah, October will be a bit. These next 3 months will still be big.
Yeah.
I mean, we still have work going on out there. But all the major deliverables have already, you know, come to fruition or become a reality. You know, 294-57 is open. The west end of 90 is open. So I'm glad I see negatives and not, you know, overruns.
Great.
Thank you.
So in summary, in the third quarter, revenue $7.8 million above target. Again, that was increased traffic primarily in commercial vehicles. Maintenance and operation spending was almost exactly on budget, $76,000 over what we had expected for the third quarter. And debt service transfers continued to be lower than budgeted due to the timing of the issuances and lower cost of borrowing. Capital program, third quarter was record spending. Record for any quarter. And the same is true for year to date. Revenue, again, affected by commercial vehicle primarily, commercial vehicle traffic being above projection, and debt service costs, again, $14.7 million less than budget. Capital program, again, record spending through the first three quarters. As we mentioned last month, we did recommend and receive approval for a $3.5 million supplemental in operations, which we will use to be prepared for November and December winter events. And I guess the other news since we met last time was that we did complete a new money bond issue. We'll have some additional slides on next week, but the results of the transactions were good, went well. We had a yield to maturity overall of about 4.1%, which is, I believe, of the three new money issues that we've done, I believe it's the lowest cost of borrowing to date, and it was lower than what we had planned for in our budget, so that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing.
Very good.
Right.
Any questions?
So, Mike, remind me, what's the carryover then of revenue from 14 to 15?
I'm sorry.
The differential here of the $9 million, and what are you budgeting as the carryover?
Of the nine, we added to we increased the 2014 estimate by seven.
Okay, so. And then that subtracts the 3.5.
And then we would be spending $3.5 million more on operations. So the budget would say between revenue and operations, you'd net out an additional $3.5. But then we're also going to have positive results from lower debt service, so that will carry over to next year as well.
Okay.
There's a supplemental you mentioned earlier. It hasn't taken place yet, $3.5 million to operations?
We're now authorized to spend it. It's approved. But it will be spent during the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter, okay. Thank
you. Good. Thank you. So, one last note, as anybody who's gone into a retail store can tell you, it's Christmas time. And the Tollway's doing our little part to support that holiday by allowing the White House Christmas tree to travel on our system. Between now and I think 9:30 a.m. it's going to be moving on the tri-state, I believe, south down to 55 and off to the East Coast, and we are happy to play our little part in advancing Christmas even earlier. Every year, earlier and earlier, until soon we'll be starting in July.
Do we know where it's coming from?
Yeah. It is coming from what, Wisconsin?
Yeah,
Wisconsin, I believe, so.
Sorry, special. Was that a state police escort?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
They were looking at cars in front of their regular escort cars, and then they were two police.
So 120 feet. 120 feet, I was going to ask how long. How fast would they travel, speed-wise?
I'm going to say probably 45.
45 miles an hour. So.
Good, we're doing our part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big rings, Christmas trees.
Are we also hardening the turkey?
That's not our job. That's not our job. Although we'll let you know if the turkey makes his or her way out to the East Coast on the Illinois Tollway. So that's it. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Finance has three items, I believe, to review. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. First item for finance is emergency extension of the collections and collections litigation services contract with NCO Financial Services in an amount not to exceed $450,000 and for a time frame not to exceed 6 months. The NCO was initially awarded a contract several years ago pursuant to an RFP. We have, as you're aware, we've actually awarded new collection services contract to Law Enforcement Systems. However, the time that it will take to finalize the contract with Law Enforcement Systems and to develop and implement the interfaces that are necessary for the new collection agency will take some time. We want to continue to be able to work those accounts that NCO has. This would allow NCO to continue to work those accounts and receive placements for individuals or accounts that they already have if there are any additional violations. So this allows us to complete the transition to Law Enforcement Systems. So we're asking for a 6-month extension on that existing contract.
Okay. And are we in negotiations then with the new, with LES right now, you said?
We are.
Okay. And this $450,000, that's for the 6 months?
Yes.
And we think we'll be the transition, that'll be enough time to make the transition?
We do. And if we're able to, we do have the ability to transition sooner if we can implement the interfaces more quickly.
What happens with the cases that NCO opened up or started that aren't closed? Do they transition those over then to LES and to Harrison Harris?
All will be transitioned. We're anticipating transitioning those to from NCO to LES.
And then as we're done with NCO, they're not paid any, once their contract expires, they're not paid any more for the collection services of the outstanding? Or is there some transition with that also?
Well, they'll be paid for the services and the collection efforts they make through that 6-month period.
So, but through the contract period. Yeah,
through the contract period, they pay through that. Yeah.
But even if they opened a case and it was 90% done when it's turned over to LES, fees go to LES, or is that something in the contract that gets negotiated? That's a hard question.
I think we'd have to work through those to some extent on a case by case basis. If we needed for some reason another 1 month extension for that, we would certainly come back and request it. But I think our goal here was just to let them keep working on a limited number that they are working on, and also allow us an opportunity to, as Mike said, if there are new violations or things that we're referring to collections for the same group of people, right, to not refer them to two different collection agencies, and then that individual or company or whoever's being pursued is then confused maybe by being, contacted by multiple different collection agencies. So.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
And I'm sorry to interject. I regret to inform you that our chief engineer was wrong, that the Christmas tree is not coming from Wisconsin, it's coming from Minnesota. Although it's traveling through Wisconsin.
It doesn't happen very often.
It's coming from Wisconsin. It just happens from
Starbucks. Yeah, I didn't say it was cut down in Wisconsin, right?
How was that for a smooth shifting the blame? Shifting the blame. Unfortunately, you spoke up, Paul, and that's what happened.
Chippewa National Forest. Where is it?
I'm told Minnesota.
Sounds like Minnesota. Right near Lake Minnetonka, if I remember correctly.
I can pick it.
It's first time, Paul. Our second item is award of a contract for cyber liability insurance with Beasley Insurance Company in an amount not to exceed $130,111. You may recall that in March the board approved the engagement or the hiring of Mesereau Insurance Services pursuant to an RFP. Mesereau was to act as broker of record to seek proposals for cyber liability insurance. They have worked with our risk management department in developing information and the questions and the review of our IT and business systems operations that were necessary to seek those proposals. Mesereau contacted, or at least received, or had contacts with at least 15 different carriers. They received indications from at least eight, I believe eight is what they received. The proposal that they received, or the best indication that they received, was from Beasley Insurance Company. They asked for a full blown proposal based on that indication, both in terms of coverage and price. And the scope of the coverage offered by Beasley includes information security and privacy liability, which pays for defense costs and indemnity payments resulting from litigation that may be associated with data breaches. And it's an aggregate limit of $10 million. In fact, most of the coverages are under an aggregate limit of $10 million with a retention of $500,000. So we would be covering the first $500,000. They also have breach response services, which include computer expert services to help determine the extent of the breach, how to resolve it, mitigation services, public relations or crisis management expenses. They also provide notification services to those that whose accounts would have been breached. It's a coverage up to $2 million. There's also business interruption coverage. Again, that would be included in the aggregate $10 million limit. There is a $500,000 retention amount per claim or incident, but also a retention for events. Our coverage does not start until more than 250 individuals have been impacted. So if there's a breach of that only impacts 220, TOA would be covering that entire loss of costs. The brokerage fee is $6,500. Again, the aggregate premium annual premium $130,111, and we would recommend approval of this coverage.
Of the 15 firms, they only found one to be qualified. Did I read that correctly? It
sounds like they get. I've asked this every time. I never remember. You go out and ask for. They, yeah. Mesereau goes out and asks for indications.
Well, this was a different way of us doing it. So if you recall, we used to have the broker come in with an insurance partner and bid kind of the package. Mm-hmm. And so this was, the board had wanted us to go out and try this new way. So we solicited a broker agreement, which was Mesereau in this case, and they went out and gave us solicited from 15 different companies,
right.
Correct?
Right, and they did receive eight indications that had both kind of general total coverage limits as well as premiums, but Beasley was clearly the best, the most coverage for the lowest, and so then they asked them to provide a full-blown proposal based upon their indication.
And so this would be the first policy that specializes in coverage of this type of cyber, this type of coverage for the agency?
Yes.
Okay. And in the past, what coverage would we have leaned on?
Well, we have a general liability coverage, but that was an area that we do not think would have accommodated much of this cost. I don't know, John, if there's any areas that you think may have
provided
coverage.
This is definitely a new area in the insurance industry. In the last 10 years, this has really developed. It wasn't even in existence 10 years ago. Totally, they're looking at this for a couple of years now, and they're still ahead. I've read many. Despite what you read about Home Depot and Jewel and Target and all that, many companies are still just thinking about getting this coverage. And we think it's very important that this be in place given our exposure of our data on customers that use the system electronically.
I would add that we did have, because of the recent breaches at some of the larger retailers, we did have some concerns about what types of you know, indications or proposals we would receive. And I think generally we're pleased that the, with the results that it would provide up to $10 million of coverage for this cost.
And were we pleased with this method of procurement?
For this specialized area, I think we are. It's much easier to work with the broker rather than putting the specs out and leaving it sort of like a shotgun type thing to get whatever we get back. And get the brokers. I think we got the best results for this particular study.
And Mesereau did provide us with some of the communications that they received from the other carriers so that we were comfortable that, in fact, that was the best approach.
That's what I was going to ask, whether it was a hands-off, arm's-length thing, or whether
they shared
the indications.
We really worked together with them on this, and they gave us all the information, and we fed them additional information through our IT department we worked with to get the information on how we protect our customers and our database.
And for these coverages, are these the... Did we come up with these coverages in the aggregate, or did they come up with this?
No, this is their standard policy.
Standard policy, okay.
And it's pretty standard through all the industry right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Not the coverage limits.
No, but the types of coverage.
So
okay. The cyber extortion and all those other things.
We're comfortable with the limits, though, where they're at?
This is the maximum they would offer.
This is the maximum Beasley's offered. Okay. In talking with Mesereau, we may explore some different levels,
okay.
And come back to the board. But we want to get this one in place, and then whenever you go for excess, it's over a base coverage. The pricing seems to be a little cheaper, but we were very interested to get this in balanced as quickly as possible so we have this in hand.
How long did the process take from initiation to today?
Well, it took us from when we went out to get Mesereau took it's probably 8 months, and then we hired them in March.
Mm-hmm.
Since March, we got the proposal from them in October.
Mesereau was probably under contract by May.
Oh yeah, yes.
So
yes.
May is probably when they really started in earnest with respect to.
So I have one other silly question. On the second line down, it says Beasley Pick. What is that?
That's the name of the company.
It says Beasley.
Beasley started as a member of Lloyd's of London.
Yeah.
And when I went to their website, this is what it says. It says Beasley Pick. It doesn't really give you any further information. So.
But if we call it Beasley Insurance Company throughout the proposal,
they are,
other
they,
than
there. In the United States, they're Beasley Insurance Company.
What are the
I have a feeling, Chair, that may be a typo. PLC is a typical English corporate.
PLC.
That's my guess.
Okay.
That's a British kind of typical reference.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to learn something new.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Third item on the finance items is renewal of a property insurance program with RSUI Indemnity Company and Chubb Insurance Company, again through Mesereau as the broker, for a combined annual premium of $820,281. This is a renewal, and it's actually the last renewal for the property insurance program. This was initially awarded pursuant to an RFP in 2011. This property insurance protection includes a blanket insurance coverage for the tollway facilities and coverage for the central administration facility, its contents, and EDP equipment. The blanket program provides coverage for replacement costs for bridges, buildings, facilities of the tollway subject to a self-insured retention. The policy does not include assets that are valued less than retention level, which I believe is $1 million in most cases.
Correct.
It does not include sound walls and the road itself. The blanket insurance policy includes protection for loss of toll revenue by reason of damage caused by an accident. Renewal. The policy is written with coverage of up to $200 million per loss, subject to retention of $1 million per loss. The coverages for earthquake and flood are limited to $100 million on an annual basis. It is the same program, actually, that we've had in place the last 3 years. The premium increases as a result of an increase in the total insured value as we complete work on Move Illinois. The value of the assets has increased, widening of or additional facilities on I-90 as well as 294 and 294-57. With the change in the insured value, the annual premium for the blanket coverage would be $755,483, insuring to insure $4.7 billion of assets. This is it. In addition, Chubb Insurance has offered to continue coverage for the central administration facility, its contents, EDP equipment. We're also asking for or requested coverage on our equipment and furniture at the call center at UIC. So the increase in that premium is about 3.2% for a total of $64,798. So we would recommend approval of this final renewal of this property insurance program.
When they established the the coverages for loss of toll income for business interruption, did they take into consideration the commercial vehicle toll increase?
We do. That is part of the insured value that's included in that coverage, yeah.
The revenues they projected were a little over $1 billion, but what's our revised estimate for in your budget for 2015?
I think it's $1,022,000,000.
Okay. This one matched up with what you were estimating for 2015 on the coverage.
And next year, $1,170,000,000.
Yeah. Because they got at $1,055,000,000, I think.
Okay.
$1,055,000,000. Then the other was the retaining walls or abatement, or the noise abatement walls are not included in this coverage also? Or if that's. Is there a reason why the sound walls were taken out?
Sound walls are not. It's, isn't it because of the cost of.
Sound walls overall, we works with our consulting engineer and we talk to him about, you know, things that we should or shouldn't be providing coverage for. Sound wall replacement we figure is like $1 million a mile. We figure that the risk involved with a mile, somebody coming on doing a whole mile of sound wall and knocking it down, probably is a low risk item. And we still want free insurance for something that has a low risk like that. And so we always look to the consulting engineer to give us the report. They give us all the replacement costs, they give us all the recommendations in this area.
And the insured value is reflecting, you had mentioned, the increase in the new construction.
It does. Okay. But obviously it would exclude sound walls and stuff, but anything, any coverage that's not, any items that aren't included in the coverage would be excluded.
And what was the increase from last year to this year with the new, you know, the new estimates and with the new construction as far as what was the percentage increase and what was the dollar amount increase of the coverage?
It was 5.7%, about a 6% increase in insured value. I think it was 5.7%.
5.7%. And the value, the replacement cost, they always use the construction cost increase, and they used about 3.5%. When they did their revaluation of all the assets on the road, which they do every year.
So it's a combination of increase. Okay. Combination of new and increased cost of replacing existing.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. If there's not, any opposition to taking items under finance 1, 2, and 3 together? There being none, we have a motion to approve finance items 1, 2, and 3.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full board for consent agenda. For approval. Thank you, Mike. Okay. Procurement. Hey, John.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we have three items for consideration this morning. First item is a request to utilize a CMS master contract for our annual purchase of Oracle maintenance and support. This request allows us continued support and maintenance of all of our Oracle software licenses. And there's a 20% VEP goal, which is being exceeded by the subcontractor. Award is recommended to Mythics Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $1,126,912.06 for a one-year term. On the second item.
And Mythics, are we using them for anything else at this time?
No,
other than this?
No,
okay.
Just the Oracle licensing.
Just the Oracle licensing, okay.
Yes. This is our annual maintenance software master contract.
Got it.
The second item is a request to utilize or to award a toll invitation for bid to purchase EMC equipment, maintenance, support, and services. This contract provides us continued maintenance and support for all of our EMC hardware and software that we own. The request also allows us to purchase hardware and installation services for items including our storage area network and network-attached storage devices. There is a 10% BEP goal, which is being committed to by the vendor. We also placed a 1% veterans goal on this procurement. And although 0% is committed, we've determined that the vendor did demonstrate a good faith effort in trying to commit to the goal. So unfortunately, we couldn't get the 1% commitment level on that one. Award is recommended to Sentinel Technologies Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $7,975,000 for a five-year term.
Okay.
This is the low bidder, right?
Yeah, that was the vendor who provided the best pricing. Yes.
And were you surprised there were just two?
Not really, because in order to be able to sell and provide service on EMC hardware and software, you have to be an authorized partner of EMC. So it's not open to everybody. You have to go through their program and get certified first, and then you can sell it. So, no, I guess we weren't really surprised. The third and final item is a request to award a tollway invitation for bid to purchase asphalt repair equipment. So this award includes two portable asphalt recycling machines, seven dual drum vibratory asphalt rollers, and nine diesel-powered crack sealing machines. This equipment is used by our roadway maintenance team for the immediate and permanent repair of our system. Bidders were not required to bid on all three line items, and the lowest responsive bidder is being awarded for each one. Award is recommended to KM International Incorporated, McCann Industries Incorporated, and Cummings, McGowan, and West Incorporated in an aggregate amount not to exceed $861,905 for this one-time purchase.
So there were three awards?
Yes, there are three awards. There were three different pieces of equipment that we're buying, and each of the three were lowest in a given category.
And the asphalt repair equipment, the equipment that we have on here, is useful life has expired on that equipment?
Yeah, so I think
on the replacing existing?
Yeah, all of my replacements, with the exception of the two asphalt recycling machines, we have two currently. So we're replacing one, or we're adding one asphalt recycling machine. So I guess right now they're having issues with the two. So one is going to be dedicated for the west end, the west of the Fox River, and the two will be dedicated in the east end of the Fox River, one in the north end and one in the south end. So they'll be able to enable them to repair our roads in a safer or more timely manner. All the other equipment, though, are replacement machines.
Okay.